of 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Let me begin reading at verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Go ahead and stand with me for the reading of the word. I believe God has a great word for us today. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. He says, "Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reveling for reveling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are opened to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Look at verse 13. He says, "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you're blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled." Now I want you to look at verse 15 very closely. He said, "But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." I want to come to you with this thought today, and I'll be sharing more in the message this morning about believe. Believe. Matter of fact, if you're writing notes or something, put a little I in front of that. I believe. I want to ask you what you believe. Let's pray. Father, I come to you today to thank you for this day that you have given us. And pray, oh God, that as we sense your presence in this place today, that you would just continue to move upon us. Lord God, I pray that, Lord, as I prepared for this day and prepare for this time, Lord, that you would speak through me the words that you want spoken. And God, I pray that we would hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today, for this time, for this hour, and this moment. Lord, I pray that you would just be with us all today. Lead and guide and direct us. Let the Holy Spirit give a great anointing, not only upon me as I speak, but as all of us as we receive the word. And to you, God, we just want to give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. I want to kind of look at verse 15 for just a moment. Just keep the slide right there, guys, for just a moment. And I want to share, when you look at verse 15, the New King James that I had up here said, "Sanctify the Lord your God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." But another translation, I like looking at other translations. The New Living Translation says, "Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it." I want to ask you this question. What do you believe? Think about that for just a minute. What do you believe? Think about that in your mind. Let that resonate in your spirit. Because if someone was to walk up to you off the street, or someone to walk up to you at work and say, "I know you're a religious person, I know you go to church, I know you believe in God, but what do you believe?" Many of us would say, "Oh, we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in God. We believe in salvation, or we believe in eternal life. We believe, you know, and we just kind of give generic answers. But if someone was to ask you a little bit more, yeah, but what do you believe? Why do you believe that Jesus is? Kind of like when, you know, parents, when you had kids at home, and if you still got kids and they say, you know, I know I did this, and I always hated the answer when I asked my mom why, and she'd say, well, because I said so. And sometimes we take that, we let that spill over as Christians, and someone says, well, why do you believe this? And we go, well, because the Bible says so. Or because the pastor said so, or because this says so, or because that, this and that. And we just kind of let it flow and like, oh, well, it, just because. But that's not what the Word tells us. Be ready to explain why you believe. If you say you believe in Jesus, then explain it. If you say you believe in salvation, then explain it. We as Christians are called to study this Word and to explain it. Hello? Many of us can't explain it because a lot of people today that call themselves Christians don't even know what it says. They wonder why they keep fighting with the same old demons in their life and why they keep going around the same mountain and why they keep falling into the same sins when they realize, when the Bible says that your word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin. Well, we're not putting the word in, so we're not getting any help, you know, to help us to not sin. But I want to ask some more questions. I'm going to be filled with questions today. We may know some things, but do we know everything in order to provide a proper defense of God's word? Let me ask you this. How many people have you led to Christ? You are anybody a child of God, a Christian, call yourself Christian today? Yeah, but what you're going to say next, yeah. How many, as a child of God, you are commissioned to go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel? Yes? Which means you are called to lead people to Christ. So I come back to this question. How many people have you led to Christ? How many people have you told about Jesus? How many people have you led in the sinner's prayer? Well, Pastor, we just take them to church and let you do that. What if you don't have time to bring them to church? You think about that? How many people would make heaven based upon your spiritual knowledge? Oh, Pastor, why are you getting so hard today? Let me ask you this one then. Is God pleased with what you know? I hear crickets. Again, I ask, what do you believe? What do you believe? Remember what 1 Peter 3 says? 3:15 said about be prepared to give an answer. You know, we're called to be the light of the world, the light that shines in darkness, right? We sang as kids, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Anybody sang that as a kid? You know, hide it under a bush, oh no, I'm going to, anybody remember that? We're called to be lights. John 1 tells us we are to bear witness to the true light, which is Christ, and that through him, the true light, all may believe. John 12:46 says, Jesus says, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. John 12:36 says, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of the light. Are we sons of the light? Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Are we letting the light of Jesus shine in us? 2 Timothy 1:12 says, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that what I have committed to him until that day. Is the light of Jesus shining in our life? Because if ever there's a time we need the light of Jesus to shine, it's now. If ever there's a time where hope is at an all-time low in our world and in our nation, it's now. That's why the church is so critical for this time, because it's time for the church to let the light of Jesus shine, to let them know there's hope. People are walking around. If they're not fearful from COVID, they're fearful from the government. If they're not fearful from the government, they're fearful for what something else. People are literally walking around in fear. Suicides are at an all-time high. That tells me it's time for the church to be the church and let the church's light shine brighter than ever before. We're called to believe. We're called to believe, church. If we, you know, if we say we believe, then we got to live like we believe. Hello? Mark 9:23 says, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Mark 16:17 says, and these signs shall follow those who believe. I think sometimes we as believers need to turn around and look behind us and see what signs and wonders are following us. What's following the believer? Is it signs and wonders? Is it the glory of God? Is it evident of Jesus Christ, or is it evident of ourselves? John 3:16. We all know that one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 14:12 says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Church, we're called to do greater works. Let's go on. Acts 4:4, many of those who heard the word believed. Galatians 3:22 said, but the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 talks about believing. 1 Timothy 4:12 again talks about to be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, and in faith, and in purity. Then Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe. If we want to believe, we want to activate our faith, if we want to see God move through us and in our world, in our communities, in our church, then we've got to believe. And believe is more than just a word. It's an action. I come back again to my question. What do you believe? You're called to be lights. You're called to believe. But what do you believe? Oh, I believe in God. How do you know? How do you know there's a God? What do you mean? There's always been God. God is there. Pastor, you're a pastor. You should, you know, God is there. We believe in God. How do you know? Because, listen, if you can't answer that, then surely when the world asks you that, you can't answer. And the world is asking, how do you know there's a God? Well, we just got to walk by faith. Really? Because I have this, yes, the word says so, yes, that's good, that's true. We should give evidence and proof there. But do you realize that there is evidence beyond this that confirmed the existence of God? That's why the Bible says, study to show yourself approved. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we need to be speakers of the truth, but we can't speak truth unless we know it. Can I tell you something? The old adage and the old standby answer, well, ignorance is bliss, will not cut it. Well, if I don't know, then I won't be required. No, you're hearing it. You've heard it. Many have heard it all their life. But we have become, let's be honest, let's just take a cold glass of reality for a moment. We have been rocked to sleep and lulled to sleep by the enemy in this world that's saying, well, we'll just get by. We'll just come and do our little Jesus thing and just wait our time out and just, you know, just kind of, you know, just ride it out. And as long as I don't look around me, then I can't be held accountable. No, you're held accountable when you say, Lord, I will follow you. Because as you say, Lord, I will follow you. Lord, I will, you know, Lord, come and be Lord of my life. That means I will do my part to do all I can, number one, to fulfill the Great Commission, to go out in all the world to preach and teach the gospel. Yes, we physically can't go to every continent of the world, but we can send missionaries, and we do, thank God. But we could also help make sure that the Word of God goes forth where we are and give an answer when we are asked of what we believe. Because people are looking. And looking hard. I mean, come on. If you haven't been paying attention to the news, and I know a lot of times, you know, you don't really want to watch the news anymore. And I'm getting the same way. But I keep looking. I keep hearing this thread in all the news and all this fear. There is a movement getting stronger by the day to shut the mouth of the church up. And if you don't believe that, then get your head out of the sand and start paying attention to what's going on. This isn't a Democrat-Republican thing, church. This ain't us versus them thing. It ain't a U.S. versus China thing or Russia thing or whatever you think. Let me tell you exactly what's going on in our world. It's a God versus Satan thing. It's a good versus evil thing. This battle that we fight isn't fought by man, but it's fought in the heavenly. It's a spiritual battle. And if we don't start paying attention of what's going on, it's going to shut the mouth of the church up. But my Bible tells me that the weapons of the warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. And I can, through Christ, pull these things down. Greater is He. Oh, Pastor, we say that all the time. Yeah, but it's time we start believing it and living it. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And when He said, I could do all things through Christ who strengthened, He meant it. Me, you know, a lot of people talk about characters in the Bible, and I love a lot of characters. There's different ones I really, you know, pay attention to, but I tell you, somebody always stands out to me for this reason: Samson. I mean, when you look at Samson, yeah, Samson wasn't perfect, but this part always stands out to me. He'd shake himself, and the strength of the Lord come upon him. I think it's time for the church to shake themselves and let the strength of the Lord come upon them and say, enough is enough. Think about it. Listen, again, I come back to, what do you believe? More questions I want to throw at you. Is there a light, a glow, a sign that shows your love and devotion to God? Can people tell from your speech, your actions, and your conduct that you believe? Can people really tell you believe by your actions alone? If asked, can you tell people what you believe and why you believe it? Again, I keep going back to, what do you believe? Something I said earlier, I want to circle back to and get you really thinking about this. Can someone make heaven based upon what you believe and based upon your knowledge? Church, I know if we're up one day and down the next, something wrong. I know we're going to have bad days. I got days I have those days. But that shouldn't be the norm. I mean, there's days we all get down. Come on, let's face it. There's days we just want to go back in bed and cover our head. Not because Santa Claus is coming, just because we just want to skip this day, you know, just kind of. But that shouldn't be every day or every other day or recurring weekly. Come on. The Bible says, in this world you'll have troubles. In this world you'll have pain, aches and pains. Yuck. In this world you'll have sniffles and colds and this and that. In this world you'll have medical. You know, all that does is just remind me that this body is frail. This body is temporary. But the Lord reminds us to be a good cheer, for He's already overcome the world. We've already won. We're just trying to help as many people get to heaven while we're on this journey. It's our job. It's our responsibility. I talked about that last week. It's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to get into this word for ourselves. It's our responsibility to know as much as we can. No, God's not calling you to be no biblical scholar. There's some that He calls to do that. But He's not calling you to be a biblical scholar, to know front to backwards and to know all the Hebrew and the Greek and all the ins and outs of all. No. But to state what you believe and begin to say why you believe it. Think about it. What do we believe? What do we believe? Because in this world, there's a lot of questions that's going to be coming to the church. What do you believe? And we're going to be asked about standing. Now, we have a set of beliefs. We have a set. Go to the next slide, I think. I know you can't read that, and that's fine. Don't try to read it. But that says what we believe. That's our declaration of faith. Now, the first Sunday of the year, we usually have Declaration of Faith Sunday, which we were all online. We couldn't really do all that, but we're going to do it now. Because I believe it's important. I believe it's important to state what we believe. But not just state what we believe, but why we believe it. Think about this. We believe in the verbal inspiration of the Bible. We believe in one God eternally existing in three persons, namely the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. We believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of the Father, conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, that Jesus was crucified, buried, and raised from the dead, that He ascended to heaven and is today at the right hand of the Father as intercessor. We believe that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that repentance is commanded of God and all for all and necessary for forgiveness of sin. We believe that justification, regeneration, and a new birth are wrought by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. We believe in sanctification subsequent to the new birth through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, through the Word, and by the Holy Ghost. We believe holiness is to be God's standard of living for His people. We believe in the baptism with the Holy Ghost subsequent to a clean heart. We believe in speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance, and that is the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We believe in water baptism by immersion, and all who repent should be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. We believe in divine healing is provided for all in the atonement. We believe in the Lord's Supper and the washing of the saints' feet. We believe in the pre-millennial second coming of Jesus, first to resurrect the righteous dead and to catch away the living saints to him in the air, second to reign on earth 1,000 years. We believe in the bodily resurrection, eternal life and, for the righteous, and eternal punishment for the wicked. That's what we believe. Now, we could memorize that. We could quote that. We could recite it just like we know our.
Hello.
Oh, we believe in Jesus Christ. Okay. Why? We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Why? This is what God has put upon my heart for this year, church. I shared with our council the other night. This is just how I operate. God gives me something for the year to focus on. Our yearly focus, our theme, if you will. And that's where we're going to come down to. And this year, going next, and we'll be going through not only what we believe, but why we believe it. What we believe and why we believe it. This is what I'm going to be preaching on for the year. Oh, I'll be preaching on other things, yeah, but I'll be focusing each month. Go to the next slide. I think it's up there, next one. I believe in the Bible. Some say, oh, well, it's full of contradictory, it's full of contradictions and stuff. And many have tried to prove the Bible wrong, and every one of them has failed. Let me say that again. Many have tried to prove it wrong. All have failed. Why? Because we believe in the Bible is the infallible, inerrant Word of God. We believe in the Trinity. I know sometimes it's hard for people to explain the Trinity. Hopefully when we get done with this and sure give you some things that you could hang on to of really what the Trinity means. When we say, you know, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, what that means. We believe in divine healing. What does that mean? We believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. What does that mean? And we're going to be walking through these things. Salvation. Well, most of us understand salvation, but do we really understand what regeneration and justification and sanctification really means? Do we really, we talk about living a holy life, and holiness is not about how you dress. People think, oh, well, if I take all the makeup off and, you know, and I take all the, you know, the ring off and all the jewelry off and, you know, I'll be holy. No, you're just homely. Now, I'm not telling you we got to come look like a Vegas showgirl or anything like that. Come on now. But it's not what the outside. Now, we need to kind of, yeah, I mean, pastor don't need to come up here in no muscle shirt. I don't want to wear a muscle shirt. But, I mean, come on, some of these people, the way they dress and stuff, we still need to reverence the house of God. This is still a sacred place. He's still a sacred God. But it's more about what's in the inside than what's on the outside. And that's what God focuses on. We're going to walk through this, and I'm going to spend a lot of time because we're going to be walking through each month. We're going to have a focus through this. But I want you really to think, I want to come back to this. What do you believe? Do you believe? Mark 9:24 says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Church, let's face it, there's times I know our faith gets shaken. There's times we all think, Lord, are you still up there hearing me? Do you see all this? Lord, do you see this wickedness that's going on right now? Do you see this despicable stuff? I'll be honest with you. I mean, with all this stuff that's been going on, and I've been doing some digging, and Brother Gordon and I, we've been kind of sharing. I'm not going to share all this information, but there's some things we've been, you know, just kind of doing some research and digging, and I'm just a junkie for knowledge. I'm just trying to figure out, Lord, what's going on here? And I'll be honest with you, my whole essence and my whole kind of back thought on this is, how does this tie to the end times? You know, that's what I'm looking at. How does this tie to what's coming, what I see in Revelations? How does this fit? And no, I know I'm not going to figure out God and all things, but I can figure some things out. And I know there's a great awakening coming for the church. That I know. How it comes and how it looks, I don't know yet. But I know this. There's some evil church that's going on in this world that I heard a podcast the other day. And I hadn't shared this with you, brother, but it will make your toenails curl. If this is all true that I'm hearing, I'm thinking, oh, my Lord, what is getting ready to happen to this world? It has bothered me. I listened to it Friday or Saturday. I don't remember, but it's still messing with me right now. Some things that I'm hearing, I'm thinking, oh, God, that the evil in this world is not as, it is beyond what many people comprehend. And if that, you say, well, why are you saying all that? If ever there's a time for the need of the church, it's now. It's now. It's time, church. And we've got to stand up and begin to declare what we believe and why we believe it and begin to share it to the world, because the world needs is looking for hope, and it's up to us to share that hope. You know, I'm reminded with scriptures, and I'm getting ready to wrap up, but, you know, the people are saying, where should we go, Lord? You're the only one that has words of eternal life. Where else can we go? And I think that resonates today. People are looking to the church and say, where else can we go? This is the only place that there's words of eternal life here. The church is the only place that gives hope. Hope that will last beyond tomorrow. And church, it's time we believe and we declare what we believe and why we believe it, and begin to give a defense. Remember what we are told: when you pray, believe. Well, we're praying, but are we really believing? Are we boldly proclaiming what we believe and why we believe it? Worship team, come on up here. Let's get ready. I'm praying. I really sense a stirring in my spirit for the church, for us to pray, God, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Help me, Lord God, believe. Listen, how many of you have been praying for God to answer some prayers? For God to move in some things that you've been praying God to move, and it just don't seem like anything's going on. But are you believing when you pray? Lord, touch this knee, touch his knee, touch his knee. Lord, I just touch his knee. And then we don't put any belief behind it. Come on, we all know, church. We all know when you go buy something, you kind of buy, if you're going to buy a car or some big item or something, or you know, where there's a salesman involved, you kind of take some of your lead on what that person, if they really believe in their product or not. How they, if they hem-haw around, and you know, well, yeah, it's a good, you know. It's the way I do. I know, you know, we've had to rent places before, and where we went to Louisiana, you know, we couldn't go, we had to rent a place before we got there, and I asked the realtor person, I asked her, you know, how, you know, the house looked nice. She kind of did a video walkthrough, and I asked her, I said, how's this look? Man, it looks nice, you know. And then I asked this question. Would you live here? And she started, I really can't answer that. And I said, okay. I said, would you let your, I said, you know, she, and I finally told her, I said, tell me, would you live here? She goes, no, I wouldn't live here. And I, okay, that gave me my answer. And found out later that was the right answer. And then she showed us another place. Would you live here? Oh, yeah, I'd have no problem living here. That's the place I want. Because of what she, because I could tell from her language and the way she was acting, something wasn't right. She didn't believe what she was showing. Church, we got to believe what we're showing. We got to put actions behind our words. And it's time to just kind of old cliche, it's time to put up or shut up. Hello? Stand with me this morning. Father, I just ask you right now that in the name of Jesus, Father, I have given what you have laid upon my heart. And I pray, oh God, that the church is stirred by what they're hearing. That we have got to show the love of Christ, the light of Christ. We've got not only to say what we believe, Lord, but why. And Lord, I know there's darkness around us. I know there seems like hopeless situations. But today, Lord, I believe in you. And when you tell me that all things are possible to them that believe, so, Lord, I take you at your word. You're a man that you should not lie. For you tell us that you are the way, the truth, and the life. So, Lord, I take you. You are true. You are just. Lord, I know you hold all things in your hands and you are in control of all things. You just ask me to believe. So Lord, today I believe. I believe. I believe. And Lord, I pray today, there's people today here within the sound of my voice, Lord, that are having trouble believing. They know, Lord, they know you're real, but they're just having trouble with the believing part. They're having trouble with the part of being able to share. They feel inadequate to share, or they feel inadequate to really convey their belief. Lord, you're here to help them today. You're here to lift them up and strengthen their faith and their belief in you. I pray, Lord, for them. I pray for those that have needs upon their heart. That they would stand in faith believing that all things are possible. And that, God, you are who you say you are. Hallelujah. I want to invite you this morning. From some of you have been facing some things. God's saying it's time to put belief. When you pray, believe. You've just been speaking words, but you haven't really believing. You don't believe what you say. God's saying, put belief behind it and see if I don't begin to move in your needs. But those here this morning, I just want to open up these altars. And those here that say, Pastor, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help me. I just ask God to help me. I want you to come right now and just come around these altars. Church, we need to make sure that we believe what we believe what we believe without any doubts. God is going to move in our situations, and God's going to move in our nation. God's going to move in our family. God's going to move in our needs. Come right now. If you need special prayer this morning, I'll come and stand, and we will pray with you, lay hands on you, believe. We will agree together. God will meet the need. But church, I want to ask, invite you to these altars right now to come and for you to cry out and say, God, help my belief. Help me, oh God, believe. I want to believe. Lord God, I pray, let your will be done. Come on.